eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
If you have your Bibles, let me ask you to turn to the book of Joshua, please. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, chapter 3. God has led my heart to Joshua chapter 3 this week, and I would like for us to take a few moments and look there this morning and just talk a little bit about this, and then God willing, finish this up next week, and then we'll get back into Ecclesiastes and finish that, which is where we've been studying for a number of weeks. Now, we pick up this story in Joshua 3 at the sort of the tail end of the journey that the Israelites have been on, coming out of slavery in Egypt, crying out to God. God had heard their cry, and he had raised up Moses as the one who would deliver them from their slavery. And as you know, they've been walking through the wilderness now for 40 years, 40 years in the desert. And even in that time, God had provided all of their needs. They lacked nothing, even in the wilderness for 40 years. And now, as we jump into Joshua 3 here, they've finished those 40 years. They've come now almost within eyesight of the promised land that God had promised to take them to. They're not quite there, but they're close. And as they get ready to go into the next leg of their journey, to go into the promised land, God brings them to a very interesting place in their journey, a place that they would never have chosen to go, but he brings them there for a very special reason. And I think as God has brought this passage to mind with me all week long, I hope that this will be an encouragement for all of us. Let's start in verse 1, Joshua chapter 3, if you have that. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing over. Now, jump down to verse 15, and we'll come back today and next week, and we'll pick up these verses in between. But I want you to just peek ahead in the story and see what verse 15 says. It says, "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest." Some of you, I know, have been to Israel and Jordan and Palestine and those places, and you've visited. And no doubt if you have, you've seen the Jordan River. It's one of the great landmarks there. Many amazing things happened in the Jordan River and near the Jordan River. During most of the year, the Jordan River is a typical river. In some places, it gets up to about 100 feet wide, but it's a normal river. And yet, during flood stage, the river changes characteristics completely, and it can swell to 150 feet deep and almost a mile wide in places. And it's fed from the melting snows of Mount Hermon, which is north up above the Sea of Galilee. And as those snows up there begin to melt, they rush down into the Jordan River and they create this 62-mile-long, massive, raging torrent of water. I don't know if you've ever seen on the news things happening around the world and even in our own country when rivers flood. And the force that they have, the power that they have, and you've probably watched like me on the news programs with just sheer amazement to see a river sweeping cars away like they're toys. And I even saw a house one time that was built near the river and the bank broke away and the entire house was just swept downstream like matchsticks by the powerful rushing waters. And so we need to understand as we consider this moment in history here that God intentionally brought these people to this river when it was at its worst, when it was at its most threatening time of the entire year. He could have brought them 3 months earlier. He could have brought them 6 months later. But verse 15 intentionally tells us that, you know, if you just kind of read through that, you go, well, Jordan River's at flood stage. I don't know why they included that fact. They included it to let us know that it was the worst time to try to cross the Jordan River. In fact, it was completely insane. No one in their right mind would ever think of trying to wade through the Jordan River at flood stage. It strikes me that God often allows us to face obstacles that are far greater than us in order that His strength and power can be shown. You see, Paul said, it's in our weakness that He is strong. When I'm at my strongest, God is not seen. People see Phil. When you're at your strongest, people see you. But it's when we're at our weakest point that we can be strong and people can see God in our lives. And God orchestrates things this way. He often brings us to impossible situations in our life, in our family, with our health, whatever it happens to be, with our job, with our relationships. He brings us to a point where we look at the situation and go, well, that's absolutely impossible. I can't fix that. I can't cross that on my own. And the reason that God does that so often in our lives, and He says this again and again in the Old Testament, when people face these kinds of challenges, He says, I'm bringing you to this place right now. Why? So that you will know that I am God. You remember that old song? I think it was maybe Andre Crouch, who wrote the words, if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. And that's absolutely true. If we sort of skate our way through life very easily without any struggles, without any issues, we really don't need God that much. Have you not found in your life that when things are going well, I mean really well, you tend to maybe not pray as much? I mean, listen, at times in our life when our health is perfect, we feel like $1 million. Our kids are healthy and strong and doing well in school. We've got extra money in our bank account. Our job is going great. Our family and our friends are all in love with us. The sun is shining. What, you've never had one of those times? What? The sun is shining. You know, I mean, everything is going great. Do we not tend in those times to put God like a spare tire in the trunk and say, God, when I have a blowout, I'm going to come calling on you? David said, before I faced trouble, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And God in His graciousness so often brings us to moments in life that we stand there and face seeing almost insurmountable odds because He wants to teach us to trust Him. And He wants us to know that He's God. Some of you, right now in your life, you're facing a Jordan River in one way or another. Some of you, just this year, just in these past few months, you've endured and are enduring some very difficult health struggles. You're facing a Jordan River. Some of you in your finances, you've lost your job and this economy has been very rough on you and your business, facing a very difficult situation. Some with your relationships, maybe with your children, maybe with your parents, maybe with a sibling or a coworker, you're facing a very difficult moment in your life. And so often we question God and we say, God, why in the world have you let this come? And I think those are very natural feelings and it's a very natural response for us. But God says, I want you to see my power. I want you to see that I'm in every situation and that I can do things that you cannot do. But the only way that we're going to see God's power is if we follow God's plan. This is the second thing that I see in this passage. Not only did they face an impossible situation, but thankfully they followed God's plan. I just want to pick up a couple of these steps here today and then wrap things up next Sunday, God willing. Step one, and this is my least favorite step of all, I think. God said the first thing they had to do was wait. Back in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, God said to them, "Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you." But, verse 11 says, 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan River. And we'll see a little bit later in this story how those 3 days were ordained by God for a very specific event in the lives of the people. There's this waiting time that God brought them into. I mean, He just sort of dangled the carrot out in front of them of the promised land that they'd been looking forward to and hoping for all these years. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the generation that left Egypt died off in the wilderness. None of them got to see the promised land. And so now, can you imagine how much more their children are now longing for this journey to be over and to finally see the land that God had promised? And He said, "Get ready. I'm getting ready to take you across the Jordan into the land that I've promised you, but first I want you to wait." And I'm telling you, folks, this is God's pattern for life. We see it over and over again. God said to Abraham, "You have no children, but I promise to give you a son. And through that son, I'm going to make a great nation." And Abraham thought, "How awesome. Thank you, God." 1 year went by. 2 years. 3 years. 4 years. No child. And Abraham waited. And you read that story through and you see that 25 years went by before God fulfilled His promise to Abraham. You know what? I found myself the other week pressing an empty glass to the front of my refrigerator to get some ice. And you know how sometimes it doesn't come out? You hear it working, but nothing's happening. You know what I found myself doing after about 8.2 seconds? I went, "Come on!" And I just thought to myself, "Really, Phil? You're that impatient?" I mean, isn't that our generation, though? Everything's push button and microwave and instant. And I don't know if it was easier for them to wait back then because life maybe was on kind of a slower track. I don't know. But I'm telling you, man, it's hard to wait. We find ourselves in traffic jams. And we've been at the light for 2 minutes. And we just start getting, you know, red around the gills. Standing in line at the bank or wherever. And we start, you know, tapping our foot and looking at our watch and, you know, in the grocery store. "Come on, how many coupons can you use, lady? You know, I'll give you $20 if you just leave." Right? We're impatient people. If God had made me a promise, a specific promise that He was going to do something in my life, and I waited 25 years, I have to tell you, I'm not sure I'd still be waiting. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. He was doing the right thing, serving his master, and he was lied about. And because of those lies, he was thrown into prison for years and years and years. And he had to wait on God's timing. Have you ever caught this? David was anointed as king by Samuel when he was a young boy. But have you ever watched the timeline of that? It was about 20 years before David actually became king of Israel. God is in the business of making us wait. One of His great classrooms, I've told you this before, one of God's great classrooms is the classroom of waiting. Anybody there right now in your life? You're waiting? God, come on. Please, would you solve this? God, would you please just step in and just fix this? God so often makes us wait. We have to learn to wait as individuals. We have to learn to wait as families. We have to learn to wait as a church. Right now, we're in a period where, I'm telling you folks, we're going to have to wait on God for some things. We're just going to have to wait. And I want to encourage you that that's okay. It's okay to wait. It's okay to not have answers and solutions and plans for every single thing as we move forward. God causes us to wait, and in those moments we get to, if we're listening, hear that still small voice. Students at LifePoint, I want to encourage you to learn to wait. Learn to wait and see what God can do through those patient moments of trust. When you don't see the answer that you want right now, God doesn't seem to be moving quickly enough in your life, I want to encourage you to wait. They did that, thankfully. This crew here, the Israelites, you read their story in the books prior to this. There were a lot of times they didn't wait. A lot of times they got off track with God. But here, they obeyed and they waited. And the benefits that we see in this story are amazing. So step one, God told them to wait. Step two, God said, don't make a move without me. Don't make a move without me. Look at verse 2 of Joshua chapter 3. It says this, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. I want to pause there for a second. You ever had those moments in your life? Do we not get comfortable in life with the routine, the safety, the familiarity of a routine so often? And when God bumps us out of that routine into some place we've never been before, we get very uncomfortable. I don't think any of us mind change from time to time, but there are very few people who enjoy huge change to come into their life. We just don't like it. We tend to resist it. We want to stay where things are known, where things are comfortable, because at least we've got a handle on that. And God's not going to leave us there, folks. Not in your individual life, your family, or as a church. God's not going to leave us in a place where everything is comfortable, because then we don't really need Him. It's in those moments when I suddenly look up and see that my course has changed, I say, oh Lord, where are you? Oh, when's the last time I prayed? When's the last time I read my Bible? And maybe you're running through your house scrambling trying to find your Bible. Where did I put it last year, week, whenever it was? Lord, I really need you now. And you know what? That's one of the reasons God allows these things to come into our lives, because it drives us to Him. It drives us to Him. It's so easy to stay where things are comfortable. And you know the weird thing about this is, even though these Israelites had been in the desert for 40 years, that had become their comfortable place. They didn't have to cross any raging rivers and do anything crazy. Well, let's just keep marching through the desert, or at least we know we're going to have food, and God hasn't let our shoes or our clothes wear out for all these years, so at least we're comfortable with that. Don't give us anything hard to do. And God said, yeah, I've got to change a course for you. I want to put your faith to the test, and I'm going to take you on a place you've never been before. But what He says here in verse 4 is that as long as you follow Me, you'll know which way to go. Verse 6, Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. There it is again. Verse 3 said, be sure you follow the Ark. Verse 6 says, the Ark is going to pass ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. Verse 11, same thing. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. As a matter of fact, in this short passage of Scripture, 6 times in 14 verses, God says the Ark must go ahead of them. Now, what did the Ark of the Covenant in those days represent to those people? God's presence. Exactly right. It represented God's presence. As they were, in the years past, going through the wilderness, they were constantly on the move, so they were never able to build a temple to God. but they sort of built a mobile temple in the form of a tabernacle. You remember that, right? They built this with poles and cloth, and they could put it up, and they'd stay there for a while, and then they tore it down, and they would move. And in that tabernacle, and later in the temple that was built, there was, you know, the outer court and the inner court and the holy place and the most holy place, or as it was called, the Holy of Holies. And it was in that room where this Ark of the Covenant sat. And it was on that Ark where God's presence came down to dwell. And the priest was only allowed, only the high priest was allowed to go in only once a year into that room and be in the presence of God. The ark for these people represented God's presence. The Jordan River represented an impossible situation. And here's the thing we need to see. God said, when it's time to move, the first thing you need to get is the Ark of the Covenant. Make sure that you don't take a step unless God's presence goes ahead of you. Are you tracking with that? It's a powerful, powerful principle of life. Make sure you don't take a step unless God's presence is moving in front of you. Now, what does that mean for us in our life? We don't have a box covered with gold and poles through the side that have to be carried by priests to follow today. Probably a good thing. But because Christ came and became the last sacrifice that was ever required for the sins of man, He basically shut down the temple service. And all of the rituals that had taken place, Hebrews, if you've never read Hebrews, it's kind of a tough book to read, but it is such a blessing to read the book of Hebrews because it talks about how Christ came and He is the new way. He's the better way who fulfilled all that old stuff, all the old requirements of the law. And now Christ has opened up for us the way into the holy place to be with God, and we may now come boldly before God's throne. That was a phrase that would have been blasphemous in the Old Testament. No one came boldly to God, but because of Christ, we can. What a thought, and I'm so off track, so let me get back. We don't have an ark that we have to follow today, so what does this mean for us? Because the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, looking back on these very events of the Israelites, he said, all these things happened to the Israelites as an example for you. We don't have an ark to follow today, but our lesson from this is we had better never move somewhere in life and choose a course in life unless we're sure that we're following God there. How often in my life I look back and I see God was calling me this way, and I said, but God, there's a Jordan River right there. I'm going that way. And I would dare say there's not a single person in this entire place this morning who would say that after having done that, after having gone your own way, your life turned out great. You know why? Because we're violating one of the principles that God has put in place. It's like trying to break the law of gravity. It's going to exist whether you think it will or not. God's laws are the same. And He's saying to us, wherever you step out, wherever you go, make sure that you're following God. Moses said it this way in Exodus 33:15. He said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, please do not send us up from here. Is that the cry of your heart? It is of mine. God, if your presence does not go with me in this situation, please don't send me there. Please, God. I'm telling you, I don't want to take a step through this crazy world without knowing that God is leading the way. Here's the amazing thing to see as you read through these wonderful accounts of the journeys of the children of Israel and all the times that they acted like boneheads. And then all the times that they chose to follow God, you see this stark difference between the two. Every single time, without fail, that the Israelites followed God's plan, they whipped every enemy they came across, regardless of the size of the enemy. every one of them. They whipped every one of them. There's also something else you see. Every single time they went to battle without God, they got crushed, regardless of the size of the enemy. Every time. There's a lesson there for me. I hope there is for you, that no matter what we face in life, if God is with us, nothing can touch us. If God is not with us, it doesn't matter what resources we have, we're in trouble. Boy, do I want to preach a whole new message right here. Don't tempt me. We're trying to make this a short service. Yeah. That's right. Yes, you're right. Bunch of wise guys. I'm telling you, don't tempt me because it won't take much. But listen, church, it's so vital for us to really get this down in our bones. We've got to learn that it's not the resources of this world that will make us strong for Christ. It is Christ alone where our strength comes from. If we have no resources whatsoever, as individuals, as a family, or as a church, if we are following God, we're the most powerful people on the face of the earth. And I'm telling you, as a church, I prayed earlier this morning at the 9 o'clock hour, God, thank you for this place. I'm so thankful. Look around at what God has given to us. How blessed have we been? The chairs you're sitting in have cushions in them. Do we realize how blessed we are? But church, I'm telling you, we don't need any of this stuff to be the church. None of it. We don't need a program. We don't need an order of service. We don't need any of this stuff to be the church. You know where the most powerful churches are on the face of the earth today? Are in China and India. Places where the church is suppressed and held under the boot of a dominating government, those churches are exploding. Not with big things, but with God's power. Maybe there's a church here that's 20 people, and they have to meet in secret, and they have to whisper their whole service for fear of being heard by the secret police. The power of God is moving in those places. God can use any resources that are committed to Him, whatever they are. It's amazing to see these Israelites going up against foes that, if you had to put it down on paper and draw a graph beforehand, you would seriously counsel these people not to fight that battle because the numbers don't add up. God says, I don't care about your charts. I don't care about your numbers. I do math differently. And as long as they were following God, they were a force to be reckoned with. See, here's the thing we need to know. Allowing God to lead the way for us in our lives opens doors to places we would never otherwise be able to go because God is with us. Can I illustrate it this way? If I got on a plane this afternoon and flew to Washington, D.C., got in a cab, and asked them to take me to the front of the White House. And I got out of the cab and walked through the gate into the White House and started walking up the sidewalk towards the front door of the White House and was getting ready to, well, they don't have a doorbell at the White House, but whatever you do there. If I started walking up towards the White House, what do you think would happen in about 3 seconds? There'd be Secret Service coming out from behind bushes, jumping out of trees. And I promise you, in no time at all, my face would be pressed to the ground, and I have a machine gun in my temple, and it would not go well. Now, let's repaint that story just with one difference. Let's say that the President of the United States is a personal friend of mine, and he called me and said, Phil, come up for the afternoon. And I fly up to Washington, and his limousine meets me, takes me to the White House, and when I pull up, he's standing on the curb, waving at me, and I get out of the limo, I shake his hand, and the two of us walk together through the front gate and up the sidewalk and up the front steps. What do you think those Secret Service men are going to be doing then? They're going to be saluting, and they're going to be bowing, and they're going to be saying, good afternoon, sir, welcome, please come in. What's the difference? It's who I'm with. It's who I'm with. The same thing is true for us in the Christian life. God said in Isaiah 45, verse 2, I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places. Why? So here it is again, so that you may know that I am the Lord. You know what I've found in my life, church? I've found that I have missed seeing God do so many things at times because I chose not to follow Him. I chose not to follow His plan. I mean, God, seriously? That way? That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And because I choose to go my own way instead, because it was safer and it was familiar and it was comfortable, you know what happened? I missed seeing God do something great. Missed it completely. I wonder how many of those miraculous moments we've missed because we chose to go our own way, or because here's one of my problems, is because we felt like we had to have every detail in place first before moving forward. Do you struggle with this too? You're a programmer. I think we think like that. It's just, you know, everything's got to add up, and once that happens, then we'll step out. I'll tell you, God's plans, if you study this in Scripture, you'll see God's plans seldom make sense. They seldom make sense. God brings us to these Jordan rivers in life at flood stage to teach us to trust Him and nothing else, and to give us a new opportunity to see that He is God. I wonder today, as we face the Jordan rivers in our life, whatever yours may be, I wonder if we're willing to say, God, you're calling me to step out into this very unknown place that I've never been before, but I'm going to trust you. Doesn't make sense, but I'm going to trust you, and I want to see your hand move. I hope that if you're there today in some place in your life, and we just scratched the surface on this today, we'll get to the exciting part next week, but I hope that if you're there at some place in your life, if there's a situation that you're looking at right now that just seems like a Jordan River at flood stage, and God's asking you to take another step right out into the water, may we have the faith in God to follow Him there and to see Him do great things. Let's pray. Father, I look back over my life and I see so many times where I did trust You. And I did take that step right out into a place that was humanly insane. And You were leading there, and we saw You provide. My wife has seen You provide. My children have seen You provide and make the way. And God, none of us will have stories to tell our children and our grandchildren if we just follow the same old paths that are familiar and comfortable. But boy, are we going to have some stories to tell our grandchildren if we can look back on our life and see moments that we stepped out into the impossible. So God, give us the grace, give us the strength, the courage, the patience, the trust to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. Of my heart, I want to see